come on up to the front if you don't mind, so you get a little cozier. And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and begin with a word of prayer. And then I'll introduce what we're going to be doing. But with a group this size, we're going to be able to do just about anything you guys want us to do, okay? So we're going to, in a minute, I'm going to ask you what your goal is while you're here. And then I'm going to try to tailor our discussion, our teaching around that. But this is going to be a very heavy, hands-on type of workshop, okay? So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you so much for your presence this afternoon. And Lord, I bless your name and I praise you. And Lord, I thank you for each person that's here. And I pray that not one of them would go away without receiving from you their heart's desire. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to take the seat of honor and just let the kingdom come. Let your act of rule and reign manifest in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, guys. Well, I'm John Hernandez. I get to pastor a wonderful church called the Tempe Vineyard Church in Tempe, Arizona. For those of you that don't know where Tempe is, it's part of the Phoenix metropolitan area out in the desert in Arizona. And so this is a wonderful change for me to see all this green grass and trees. You take an Arizona to any place green, and it's like we think we're in heaven, you know. Psalms 23 takes on new life for us, you know. It's like, it's unbelievable. But this afternoon, like I said, what we're going to do is this. Let me do it this way. Let me start by asking you, what is your goal, your desires, and what would you like to get out of this time together? Why don't we start there? So, Mike, you want to kick it off for us? I know. It's that.
I'm on the wrong side.
Yeah. I used to be a high school teacher, and you didn't break a gaze with me, so I just figured, hey, you got it. So.
Okay. About a year, I attended SACO last year, first year. I'm in the second year, and God has just moved me to the point of prayer, and I'm actually praying for people out on the streets now.
Great.
I'm not, you know, not a lot of it, but I want to just, and I've been prophesized over a couple times that eventually I'll start seeing healing. So
okay.
I'm just trying to press in. I've learned to press in to that word press in. I always struggled with, but it just says learn more about. And that's what I'm here today to learn more about.
All right.
What you've got to offer.
Okay.
And
great.
The word healing obviously drew me in.
Amen. Great. How about you, Emily?
Yeah. So, I mean, I was praying about which workshops to go to, and I really felt like this one was the one I was supposed to be at right now.
Okay.
I really have a heart for healing. I love praying for people, especially for healing. So, yeah, I feel like I'm open to learning more about that, too.
All right. Terrific. And let's go to Susan.
I've done a lot of healing and deliverance ministry and been involved in that kind of stuff, and just I'm really interested in it and just wanted to see what you had to say. And
All right, we'll see what the Lord does. Pamela, how about you?
Pretty much the same thing. There was a smaller one, and since I've just been taking on a simple one this year, and I've been an intercessor for the church, my church, for a long time, and in Cincinnati in December, I heard the Lord tell me this is exactly where He wants me. It was I felt like He almost said, "Finally, you're where I want to be." So, and it came up then about healing and actually working maybe with people with heart troubles and cancer. So I'm just trying to learn. I just want to hear different people because I want to make sure that I'm not preventing that from flowing.
All right. Okay, great, terrific. David?
We're from Vancouver, BC. In December of 2014, my daughter Taya, who's beside me, was diagnosed with a pretty aggressive form of leukemia. So we spent 8 months solid in hospital through 5 rounds of chemo. Had a bone marrow transplant last June, and she's been at home since the end of August, sort of recovering from that, really slowly. Things were looking really good until we just found out last week that things aren't looking so good. She doesn't know a whole lot yet. So we're just, my wife's really been ministered to by Robbie Dawkins, just through his teaching and a whole bunch of folks through this last 16 months, just online, just through YouTube and whatnot. I'm a pastor of a small church, and we now run a small retreat center up in BC. But the exercising the charismatic gifts is, I've received some blessing from them, but it's not been, it's pretty out of the box for me.
Okay.
I'm like more Anglican, sort of mellow Baptist type.
You mentioned that, huh?
But, yeah, we're here to open ourselves up to everything and anything that God would have for us as a as a whole family, wanting intimacy with God on a deeper level, and just crying out that that would also take the form of helping Taya.
Well, it's great to have you, David and Taya. And is that Tara back there?
Well, it was Tara, but she couldn't make it.
Okay.
So my pastor called me and said, this morning,
okay.
Chicago, and he said, Leona, I think you should go. My name is Leona.
Hey, Leona.
Or Leona.
Leona.
He said, I think you should go. I have stage 4 colon cancer that's metastasized to my lungs. Mm-hmm. And my last doctor's visit, the doctor said to get my affairs in order because it's an advanced stage of cancer and the chemo's not working, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I had some time to kind of get used to that information. And I've kind of just resigned myself to getting my affairs in order. But I don't want to go. I'm not ready to go. I'm only 50 years old. So my pastor wanted me to come, and I got here about 15 minutes ago.
All right. Well, Leona, right?
You can say it either way.
Okay, Leona. Well, I'll tell you what. This is a remarkable... I just feel these are all divine appointments, and this means a lot to me. I just want you to know, first of all, I'm really blessed and honored. I don't like the fact that they're trying to take some of our chairs next door, but I forgive them, okay? But I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. I've been around the vineyard since fall of 84. So the carbon dating just came in last week to verify those dates. I find myself measuring my life in decades instead of years, you know, that type of thing. And my kids say I'm losing it, but they're just kids. But I've been in the vineyard since 84, and really just blessed. I grew up Catholic, and out of Catholicism, I accepted Christ in September 6th of 1976. Had a very powerful conversion experience, which I don't really share a lot, because I don't want to put a yoke on people or an expectation on people. Some people don't feel anything, but their lives change. For me, though, when I accepted Christ and invited him into my life, the prayer really worked. I felt this substance, for lack of a better term, just literally, it was like somebody took the chair I was sitting in and dropped it into a pool of something. And I remember voluntarily lifting my hands, going like this, because I couldn't believe this was just incredible. God was immediately real to me. However, I wouldn't experience that presence again for about 8 years. And that's when I discovered the vineyard. The vineyard came to Phoenix, one of the first vineyards planted outside of California, from what I understand. And I remember that one of those early vineyard services, it had to be one of the first two or three that I attended. Like, it was prayed for to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the release of the Holy Spirit. And man, boom, that presence was just tremendous and powerful. And so I got to see the heyday. I'm a relic, I guess, you know, nowadays with the age of the movement and so forth. I got to see with my own eyes when John Wimber would say, let the fire fall, and the fire fell. And I was fortunate to go with him to England in 86 to be part of his ministry team. There were about 90 of us. And John just ministering, and we were his ministry team, and people being touched, people being healed, demons being cast out of people. Just the whole thing, you read it in the book of Acts, and it's just an amazing deal. But an interesting thing happened for me is that, and I can relate to where you're at, some of you are at, and that in that was in 86. And so we were a practitioner. I was an associate pastor to Vineyard North Phoenix in the Glendale area of Phoenix. And then they sent us out in 1993. And I'm just going to be very, very transparent with you. Literally from in 1986 to 2006, and 2006 is an important date in my life, timeline-wise, as far as it being a catalytic moment for me. I faithfully prayed for the sick, ministered to people, and I'd see power every so often. But I'll be very honest with you, it was very every so often. And I was living more in the not yet than the now of the kingdom of God. And over those 20 years, what began to happen is that I began to settle for the not yet, okay? And in that settling, I trusted the Lord. We still prayed. My church would pray. But I just embraced, well, that's just the way it is. At one point, I just felt like, well, I'm not called to carry that anointing that I used to see Wimber walking in. And the power thing, and it's not Wimber's anointing, it's Jesus' life and ministry manifested through John. But there was this resignation. And so what ended up happening was that in 2006, my life changed. Still a vineyard pastor, Tempe Vineyard Church that I pastor, still going well. In fact, it was growing. It was just a wonderful place to be. And what happened is I had to take a 5-month sabbatical, and my church blessed me with a 5-month sabbatical, full pay. They love me so much. And they just, I think they just wanted to get rid of me. Go, you know. And for 5 months, and during that 5-month period, the Lord began to resurrect a lot of things that I had gotten so busy with, distracted with ministry life, and I kind of let go. And one of those things was this whole thing of the power ministry of Jesus Christ. And that includes physical healing. That's what we're going to focus on today. But it includes the whole gamut. And what ended up happening was this, is in that 2000, when I came back from my sabbatical, the sabbatical was actually in 05. When I came back the fall of 05, the Lord began to speak to me. And I suppose he speaks to different people about different things, but for me personally, the Lord spoke to me that he said, John, I want you to really hang out with this guy, Randy Clark. Have you ever heard of Randy Clark? Okay. He's a former vineyard pastor. He was the guy that the Lord used to kind of ignite the Toronto blessing. And 93, 94, in that range. And the Lord had spoken that to me in 99, but got distracted. 2003, I made a feeble attempt and went up to Renton, just outside of Seattle, attended a conference he was doing there. Got touched very powerfully by the Holy Spirit, but then again came back looking for a building for my church, got distracted. But boy, when I came back from this sabbatical in 05, the Lord was business, it was all serious. And he wasn't rebuking anybody. He said, I want you to hang out with this guy. So, March of 2006, that's my day. That's the moment things changed. My world turned upside down in a good way. And I attended a school of healing and impartation. They don't call them that anymore, but they have new names for them. They always have new names. And so what happens is this, is I attended this thing, it was first week of March. And it was one of the smallest schools Randy had done in years, and for that matter has ever done, and which just suited me fine. Because that means less, more impartation, more laying on of hands, and I'm a Holy Spirit hog, and I'll do anything, including wear disguises, to get back in line, you know, second, third time. And I went there, and I remember the afternoon that we did impartation, it was Wednesday afternoon, and we're going to do impartation at the close of this session. And what he did is, he knew I was a vineyard pastor, I had introduced myself, and he has a soft spot in his heart for vineyard pastors, being a former vineyard pastor, and he laid hands on me that Wednesday afternoon, and I went down like a sack of potatoes in Idaho in December, okay, if you can imagine that. I mean, I went down, it was like somebody had set a house on my shoulders, and it wasn't a violent, but it was a slowly just lowered on me, and the way I recount it, I was on the ground probably for close to 4 hours, and I could not get off the ground. I could not get out. I the only thing I could do is roll over from my stomach to my back. And finally I heard some guys saying, what is this guy doing? I mean, this is what it's all about. You should just go with it. So I started to relax at that point. But from that point on, in 2006, what ended up happening is when I went back to my church and one of the first meetings we had, man, what's the old saying? All heaven broke out. And the fire fell, the Holy Spirit, people being healed, baptized with the Holy Spirit, inner healing. It was just this incredible thing. And we call it the outpouring of 2006. And it still remains on our church an anointing for healing. I say this not to brag, but to fight, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, unbelief. I used to be a basketball coach, so stats are important to me kind of thing. but not again for an ego thing, but it fights the enemy's effort to steal. And I've just seen so many healings. So I stopped counting at 1,300. And not just me praying for people, but when I do workshops, when I go to different churches, do conferences and stuff like that, just seeing people activated in the ministry of healing, it's just been an incredible thing. I would just say this to you right now as we enter this thing, okay? I believe you're strategic people, okay? And I really want to honor and bless your desire to grow in this area, to learn more. But today's not so much about learning as it is going to be experiencing. And that's what I've been praying for, is that you have this incredible encounter with the presence of God. And from there, we'll go ahead and begin to move into this idea of praying for the sick more effectively. At this point right now, when we pray for people, I just did a thing in Yakima Vineyard in end of February, and over 52% of the people that asked for prayer received healing, 40% complete healing, another 12% partial. They saw 50% improvement of their condition, their pain lessened. We're just seeing this thing of the kingdom breaking through. And that's what our hope is today, is to introduce you to that. Some of you are already practitioners. We just pray that the Lord takes you up a notch, whatever that may be and what that means to you. And at the very least, be encouraged to really go crazy on your towns, you know, just really just see things happen. So if you guys have your notes handy, what I'm going to do is this, is I do this with the first workshop. I'm going to pick through my material based on what you've just shared with me. And I'm going to share with you what I think would be useful to you, okay? So this is like a whole weekend together. We got about 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And so here's the thing that I would encourage you to do, okay? Write down the following three words, okay? The three P's, all right? The first one is this, presence, all right? The presence of God. I really believe, and this is such a high value for me. I mentioned to you that I had a supernatural encounter with the presence of God at my salvation. When I got into the vineyard, I experienced the manifest presence of God for the first time in 8 years. That was 84. Man, I am a presence of God freak. I love the manifest presence of God. And I hope that doesn't make anybody feel uncomfortable. If you don't readily feel anything, I just want you to know God loves you. He's for you. He's pursuing you. But I tell you something right now. For me, the manifest presence of God has been a huge game changer. To know that I walk with Jesus, that those words, those promises in Scripture are backed up with one of the great benefits of the New Covenant, that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and He is with me. Man, it is a game changer for me in ministry and life in general. And as we talk about this thing of healing, I guess you could file healings under signs and wonders, okay? I would just ask you to do this. Don't get enamored, so enamored with the signs and wonders, the healings, the miracles, that you forget to prize the presence of God. When I came off of my sabbatical, the Lord took me to Psalms 27:8. Seek my face. And the psalmist replies, "Thy face, Lord, I shall seek." And I like to read the Amplified Bible and things like that. And in the Amplified Bible, that word seek basically is rendered this way. It means to insist upon and to require. The presence of God is a vital necessity for our lives. You guys get that? In fact, if you look in the Old Testament, anytime that word seek is assigned to the Lord, it's about the Lord, seeking the Lord, it carries with it that kind of a verbiage, that intention of the original language, to insist upon. In some places, it's even very, you can even use the word demand, the presence of God, as a vital necessity for our lives. And I believe that the power ministry of this whole thing revolves as the heartbeat of this thing is that our love for God, our desire for Him, is first and foremost. And we would never settle for just the power without the presence. Does that make sense to you guys? I believe that saves us from all sorts of corruption, becoming narcissistic, egotistical, spiritual pride, root springing up in our hearts. And it keeps things in proper perspective. Like I said, I've seen a lot of healings take place, and there's nothing like it when you see people healed. And you can really tell when it's impacted. And I remember a little girl in Brazil, Recife, Brazil, and she was pediatrically considered ruled blind. And she had to wear these Coke bottle type glasses just to see images and shapes. She had to wear them when she went to bed, if I remember what the translator said, so she wouldn't awaken frightened, you know. And I remember her parents bringing her in for prayer, and I remember praying 20-second prayers, 30-second prayers, commanding the eyes to be healed, and then holding up fingers and started 6 feet, 12 feet. Then I went further back, finally got on the stage, went to the back wall, and her little voice calling, nailing the number. And you know what? Her parents, with every level of improvement, they went from being brave, chin quivering, to just full-on sobbing by the time the little girl was healed. These are real people that Jesus loves and cares for. And these are real individuals that are struggling. I used to have psoriatic arthritis, and I know what it's like to deal with a painful disease that robs your quality of life, affects your relationships. And I know diseases from Satan. Many of you know that it's from Satan. It's part of the economy of the domain of darkness. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. And so, guys, I texted her right now, this thing of healing, you know, I've seen people kind of get a buzz out of it. They kind of get a excitement, and I think that's natural. I'm not faulting people for that. But I tell you what, it's kind of what Jackie was alluding to today, this morning, in her message about people going on ministry trips, but it's just a sightseeing tour, you know, it's just for the experience. And I'm telling you right now, this thing that you're desiring to move in, you're going to be literally on the front lines of the spiritual war that we're involved in. And you'll get to see people immediately impacted when they do get receive their healing. They get healed, and they turn into living testimony, okay? But the first thing was our presence. The second thing is power. I find that in my own life and in my church, that there was a direct correlation between how hungry we were for the presence of God and the amount of power that we began to see. There's something about when you have a ravenous appetite and hunger for God Himself, it's amazing the things that you'll let Him do, okay? And what I mean by that is you'll begin to risk and you'll begin to pray. And if nothing happens, you'll still pray the next time and keep going for it. In other words, in the famous words of John Wimber, you don't mind being a fool for Christ. You know, you're willing to take those risks. And so there's this aspect of power that takes place. And then the third P is purpose. Remember when Jesus told His disciples after His resurrection and ascension, He said, go wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to receive power to be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and even Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And this whole thing of power, it's going to be tempting on this healing stuff to keep it in-house in the church. And we are so guilty, aren't we, as a church, to turning the Holy Spirit into these Holy Spirit, closed Holy Spirit parties. But the Holy Spirit, the power is given to us, that power, so that we can be witnesses. And it's really exciting how the Lord has raised up different movements, different influencers in the body of Christ to kind of pick up where John Wimber left off with power evangelism. And people are doing that more and more. Some of you shared that with me in the last group that shared. And just this idea of praying for the sick, wherever you find them. And so those are the three things I would tell you, and begin and just leave that at that point, is just presence, power, and purpose. Okay? So I'm good so far? Second thing is this. Not second thing, but number two, Roman numeral two, I'm thinking about outline here. If I were to share with you, let me ask you this question. Who do you walk with? Who do you walk with? And what I mean by that is this, is that one of the things that's been key for me in gaining more boldness as I do this thing outside the church, and I mean outside the church, Arizona State University, college kids, a bastion of secularism, humanism, 10P is a college town, upper middle class, and one of the things that really has given me greater boldness is this, is I went on a retreat to Sedalia outside of Denver. It's a silence and solitude place. You're not allowed to talk. For a pastor, that's kind of like, man, that's like purgatory on earth. That's rough, okay? And you're only allowed to talk to your spiritual director. And my spiritual director, I forget the father's name, he's a Catholic priest, talked to me and said, I want you to meditate for the next 24 hours on the fact that you are walking with the risen Christ. Not the crucified Christ, and not the be ministering to Christ, but you're walking with the crucified Christ. Now, when I was a little kid, growing up in Bagdad, Arizona, no H, okay, little mining town in Arizona, one of my best friends, or my best friend, was Gigi Vega, okay? And Gigi Vega was the coolest cat in Bagdad, Arizona. 6 years old, high schoolers loved him, idolized him. He was a great athlete, he just had this personality, you know, that type of thing. And guess who was Gigi's best friend? Yeah, John, okay? I was his sidekick, you know, that type of thing. Tonto, the Lone Ranger, I was Tonto, that type of thing. And, you know, when this priest asked me, who do you walk with? And he asked me, which version of Jesus are you walking with? Man, it all of a sudden just stunned me. It's one of the great moments of spiritual revelation in my walk, is that I realized I'd been walking with all sorts of versions of Jesus, but the only one that mattered at this moment, post crucifixion, resurrection, ascension to the right hand of the Father, was the risen Christ. Nail-pierced wrists, nail-pierced feet, scar on his side, the man Christ Jesus, the glorious man Christ Jesus. And the risen Christ makes Gigi look like, well, Gigi, okay? Just a kid. But I began to think about this and meditate on this, that I'm walking with the risen Christ. Do you know that the risen Christ doesn't sweat? He's as cool as the other side of the pillow, you know? He has it all figured out. He knows the end. He knows how things are going to end up. He's not intimidated by the secular cultural shift away from spirituality, or at least Christianity. It's going to spirituality, but it's an illegitimate counterfeit. He's not at all daunted. He's not fazed at all by the political situation in our country. Gas prices. I mean, he has a podium because he knows he is victorious, he's conquered. And all of our enemies, his enemies, have been put under his feet. And walking out this thing of the healing ministry of Jesus, I really encourage you, I think it's vital that you know which Jesus you're walking with. And if you're not walking with the risen Christ who's got it whipped, nothing phases him, all right? I think it's going to affect your expression of his ministry. But as that Catholic priest said to me in Sedalia that several years ago, meditate on the fact that you're walking with the risen Christ. Right. The second thing I encourage you to do as far as boldness and getting after this thing and really taking it outside the church is, and this has helped me immensely, is understanding and experiencing the goodness of God. Again, I shared this with the first workshop. I find myself seeing biblical truths that are really powerful turned into empty cliches because they're so overused. Like, God is good. But you know what? God is good. And he is so good, it is off the charts in his goodness. I was sharing with them that weeks called at the Outpouring in 2006 after I came back from that Randy Clark event, I think I may have already mentioned. But when I came back from that event, an interesting thing happened. Like I said, the Holy Spirit was just falling on us, just a fire fell. But about fourth, fifth week into it, I think, it was really early on, I remember after worship, I'm laying face down on the carpet. Worship is ending, and I think everybody in the room thought, oh, man, he's just taken up into the third heaven or seventh heaven or something, you know. He's enraptured by the presence of God. Actually, I was laying there, and I was afraid. And I thought to myself, man, what if I get up and this time when we ask for the Holy Spirit to come in and move, nothing happens? And the Lord confronted me. And he said, John, if you knew that I would do everything that you would speak, what would you do? And I said, Lord, I'd get up right away. And that was a moment of conviction. But what he also showed me was this, is that you've underestimated my goodness. Like doing these workshops and doing events like this, different places, people ask me, there's no more pressure in ministry than doing a healing workshop or doing a healing conference. Because you either do or you don't, okay? And so if he doesn't show up, man, it looks, you know what I mean? But I found that the fear of failure, all those things, those emotions that you may have, are totally thwarted, declared null and void when I focus on how good God is. Does that make sense to you guys? Meditating on the goodness of God. And He is good. And I will say this to you, I'll let you know this. It's an important thing, and this is the thing I love about the Vineyard, is that we don't gloss things over. And I realize that not everybody gets healed, and there's a mystery to this thing of the healing ministry of Jesus. But it doesn't change the fact that He is good. Amen? Makes sense to you guys? All right, now, I'm going to break this up a little bit. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit more. But Tarsus, three started at three, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and put your stuff away for right now, set it aside. And I think I've talked a little bit too much. And what I want to do is this. Is if you can come down to the front of the room, what we're going to do is mix in some planning time and do a little exercise. And this exercise revolves around the presence of God. So why don't you come on down to the front here. This should be room for all of you. Yeah.
It's burning up something.
Yeah, yeah. And what we're gonna do right now is this. Before I go on with the rest of the teaching and talk about impartation, I just want us to practice this thing of going into the presence of God. Okay? And so, So, I here's what I want to ask you not to do. Don't pray. Don't pray in tongues. Okay. Don't do anything that at all could be striving, okay? Or, you know, there's nothing wrong with praying, but sometimes we pray it's actually striving. I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And He's already here, but we're inviting Him to minister to us. And we're just going to saute. We're going to soak, okay? Remember that idea. Who do we walk with? The risen Christ. The gift of the new covenant, the manifest presence of God. So here we go, all right? Getting closer. I should be a basketball coach. I don't mind. Tallest player ever coached was 7 foot, 6'10" and 7 foot. If you can believe that, they carried me to my car. You know, this way, Thunder, take me this way. You know, okay, let's go. Lord, I just thank You for everybody here. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless what the Lord is doing in you. And I'm going to just ask for more. Take this outside of your church. You're pressing in. That's what you said. Your words, and you are. I just bless that in you. In Jesus' name. I really believe the Lord is so pleased and delighted in you that you're taking it to that next level. You're not settling for the status quo in your life. And thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to go a little Pentecostal. I'm going to go a little rogue here. Okay. We see the Holy Spirit.
receive. There's like a heaviness in it. Thank you, Jesus. Bless, 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 bless. Tarsus is right behind me. There's a wall too, so whichever comes first. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to touch your tummy with the tip of my index finger, okay? Lord, I just stir up that risen, the life of the risen Christ within her, in the person of the Holy Spirit. Stir it up, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You too, Mike. Lord, bless, 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 bless. Bless, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, faith, 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 boldness. You walk with the risen Christ, Mike. That's really a word for you. You walk with the risen Christ, buddy. He's a champion. He's a winner. He's done it all. Nothing. He's unstoppable. And Lord, bless that, Lord, in Jesus' name. And you've had trouble believing that he'd walk with you, but he was walking with you. I can't believe he lets me do this. It's part of the scandal of grace. And so I embrace the scandal of grace. Otherwise, I could get into the party, but he has invited me. He has a place for us. Thank you, Jesus. I just bless Susan right now, in Jesus' name. I just pray for more of your presence. More, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Jonathan, just bless with God. Just ask for more. Soak them down. Soak them down. Every cell of their body, every fiber, their will, their thought, their emotions. Pamela, David, Lord, bless your son. Lord, bless him. This manifest presence, incredible reminder, fulfillment of his promise to always be with us, so I'll be with you to the end of the age. Doing this ministry, that sense of God is with you, you're not performing. You have to just get the words just right when you pray for people. He's there with you, he's indwelling you. And so we bless that sense. I pray for increased sensitivity. Like right now, it's really easy to sense his presence, maybe for some of you. But you can go out there, the mall, supermarket, work, cubicle. It gets a little tougher. Bosses hounding you, quotas, things like that. Kids are sick. Lord, we just pray right now in Jesus' name that, Lord, that you would just come, Lord, now in Jesus' name. And heighten our sensitivity to your presence, that we indeed are in this with you, Lord, and not alone. Yes. And that you are good, and you are the risen Christ, the victorious Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just bless him. We honor. We bless him, Lord. Thank you, Father. Just fill her, Lord, fresh with your spirit. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we go ahead and if I can have your attention? I know your hands of the filled presence, right? Sweet. Game changer for me. I love it. Now, right about now, you're checking out, maybe getting a little distracted, bored, thinking of your. I'm just kidding. But it's human, our ability to maintain focus. So let's just set back, regroup, and let's go out of it again. Okay?
this time we're going to ask him if he's alive. You get heard of the red line prayer. Lord, red line. You guys have cars? You know, when your temperature goes up to the red line. Okay, so the way that translates into prayer is this. Lord, give me as much of you as I can have without it killing me. That's the idea. I double dog dare you to say that. But he's so saturated that you're in a line at a grocery store and people are feeling. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me is if somebody, I was coming back to church, and they just said, man, you are packing heat, okay? I want that. So they asked me to pray for him. But in grocery stores, people, you know the Wimber story, right? He's at an airport, and the line is moving slowly, and this woman crowds him. And so he moves up a little bit more, and she comes closer, and then finally got it and said, looked at her and said, feels good, doesn't it? There's the presence of God. That's what I want. Call me crazy. That's what I want. So, did anybody else want that?
Oh, yeah.
The red line prayer is for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He won't kill you. He almost killed me in one of my implementation sessions. Right? But let's do that. So I'm going to pray it, and then just you go before him, okay? Mike said, pressing in. There's some aspect to that. So, Lord, we just ask you to come now, Lord.
Yes.
We know you're here, Lord. I'm just saying, come, Lord.
Yes.
But, Father, we ask now that you let us, give us as much of you as we can possibly have without it killing us, Lord.
Yes.
Just soak us. See, aren't there a change? It's like a heavier, denser sense of the presence. Thank you, Lord.
As much as you can
be. Ooh! Is that something? Lord, more, Lord. Redline this, Lord. Take us right up to the edge of blowing a gasket, Lord. More, Lord, Lord. More of your presence, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the new covenant, Lord. Favorite word in the kingdom is more. Sense him for more. Come on, I dare you. More. You see, you know, nobody's going to lay hands on you. You just go to your father and say, more, Papa. I want more of you. More of you. More of you. More of you. There he is, Mike. There he is, Mike. There he is. There he is. In the privacy of your home. Your prayer closet, your man cave, your den, your kitchen, your sewing room. The King of Kings chooses to meet with you. He is good. He's conquered. All authorities be given to him. No one can stop him. He is your best friend. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. More, Lord. I want more, Lord. Not done, Lord. It's crazy, but as much as this is great, Lord, I want more. I don't leave anything on the table untouched that you died for me to have. So, Lord, help me to walk in this. Help us to walk in this. Before we go back to the sharing teaching, I just ask that the Lord would give each of you, and myself included, just extraordinary spiritual hunger for God.
Yes.
I pray for increased appetite for the presence of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Man, Lord, that you hunger after God, and that hunger would cause you to change your lifestyle, the way you spend your free time. Lunch breaks at work, all of a sudden you find a janitorial closet, and you are there with Him. You're just soaking, increase, give spiritual hunger, Lord, spiritual hunger, spiritual hunger, spiritual hunger, spiritual hunger, Lord. Appetite, desire for your presence. Did I teach you guys about Psalms 27? No? Okay. Why don't we go back to our seats and we'll pick up there. And then
Can I have you guys for an extra 10 minutes?
Sure.
If you have to leave, I'll understand. I won't be hurt too badly. But I'm just kidding. Along this line of the presence of God, and that sabbatical, forgive me, I thought I'd share this with you already. But in my sabbatical, I didn't mention Psalms 27:8. Okay, wow.
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
Okay.
Transist upon
the man. Insist upon, require the presence of God as a vital necessity for your life. I immediately started rattling off what are the vital necessities? Food, water, air. You agree? Starbucks, Facebook. Let's see, what else, Lord? What else would be on that list of vital necessities? And I realized that there are a lot of competition with Jesus, way too much. There should be even, I love Spurgeon's word, if Christ isn't first in your life, he is nothing in your life. Spurgeon just didn't cut it. I hate to pull it like it is, you know. If Christ isn't first in your life, he is nothing. And so, man, I realized that I had too many competitors for the affections of my heart. And it began a process of just coming, and I still fall into them like I suppose everybody does. I have ebbs and flows of the intensity of my devotion for Jesus, human. But I tell you what, to insist upon requiring him is a vital necessity for our lives. That's that anchor spot. I love that again, as I mentioned. I know that seems like maybe out of place in a seminar or workshop for healing, but I find that foundation is so crucial. So the pursuit of healing doesn't become distorted or corrupted, you know. Now, the next thing I want to do is this, with the time that's left, we're going to go to conclude with the time of impartation, and we'll see what happens here with time. Are you sure that clock's right? Okay, just move it back 10 minutes, okay? Just move it back. Does that work? One time I was playing all-nighters in college. In a moment of incoherency, my alarm went off, and I literally tried to turn the clock back, thinking that that was a valid way to deal with the lack of sleep. It doesn't work. All I want to do is talk about...
I see it's 2 minutes.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
It's fast anyway.
Is it? Okay, great. Well... I'm going to just give you some scripture, and before we pray and lay hands on you for impartation, specifically along the gifts of the gift of healing, I want to lay a biblical foundation for you. And so go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if you have them handy, to Hebrews chapter 6, and I'm going to try to talk fast, okay? And by sharing this scripture, you know, I tell you what, the idea of impartation has been... long been a part of the vineyard culture, but recently with the raising up of different ministries, Bill Johnson, Randy Clark, these different folks, there's been a heightened awareness of it in the body of Christ, and I think it's just a great thing. But you'll see in Hebrews chapter 6, 1 and 3, the laying on of hands was considered basic and fundamental. When you read chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, here's what Paul writes. Therefore, leaving the elementary message about the Messiah, let us go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith in God, teaching about ritual washings, now here it comes, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so as Paul, he used to be a basketball coach, I know my fundamentals for building a basketball team, and Paul knew the fundamentals for building a church and a believer. And he counted the idea of laying on of hands as one of those fundamentals. It's one of the basics. You guys are all comfortable with the laying on of hands, I take it? Okay, nobody slapped my hand away as I walked away, so we're good. All right, let's go on to the next thing. Second of all, before I go any further, I want to just put out a disclaimer. When we talk about impartation, laying on of hands is not the only way to receive an impartation by the Spirit. The other way would be a sovereign move of God, where God just lays it on you. And he doesn't use a human instrument whatsoever. Two or three summers ago, I rented a room in a nearby town, Hampton Inn, 10 days, and I was going to leave there until I got what I came for from the Lord. I wanted it so bad. I pressed in. And it could be that kind of mentality, a retreat. It could just be getting away with God, that type of thing. But he can, or just sovereignly douse you, so to speak, and release, activate new gifts, and so forth.
So the next thing is this: the idea of impartation carries with it the idea of a transfer of anointing or gifting. All right, anointing or gifting. When we traveled to Brazil, when we would pray for people for impartation, we'd use the Portuguese word transfiero. Transfiero. You guys see the root word of that? Transfiero, transfer. And so we prayed, Lord, we'd ask for transfiero of whatever gift it was, healing. Was it curado?
Cura.
Cura, cura, okay? And so just that type of thing. And so anyway, so there's this transfer of anointing. And what's amazing is in the Old Testament, there's several instances of this. The first one is in Numbers chapter 11. You got to see this if you haven't seen it before. And Old Testament and the New Testament, of course, Paul and Timothy. But Numbers 11, and I'm just going to read this to you right now. Okay? Numbers 11, 16 through 18. And the Lord answered Moses, bring 70 men from Israel, known to you as elders and officers of the people. Take them to the tent of meeting and have them stand there with you. Then I will come down and speak with you there. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. I'm going to come down and speak to you there. Now get a load of this. And then I will take some of the Spirit. Notice it's capitalized. Okay? Some of the Spirit that is on you and put the Spirit on them. A sovereign thing of the Lord under the leading of God, he was going to take some of the Spirit on Moses and put it on the 70. All right? Deuteronomy 34:9. This is the story of Joshua. Not the story, but it's mentioned here in verse 9 that Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the Spirit of wisdom. And here's why. Because Moses had laid hands on him. You see that? Laying on of hands, impartation. Some of the Spirit of wisdom that was on Moses was transferred over to Joshua, the son of Nun. And then my favorite story, one of my favorite stories in terms of impartation, is the Elijah-Elisha connection. Okay, 2 Kings 2:9 through 15, in case you don't know where that is. And just for the sake of time, let me just kind of paraphrase the story. You know, it comes to that point where Elisha, who was a Padawan of Elijah, Star Wars, okay? I didn't mispronounce. Okay, I gotta relate. I tell my kids all the time, they're in their early 20s, that's cool, man, that's cool, he's up to speed. But anyway, so what happens is Elisha, apprentice, assistant to Elijah, he asks an incredible thing of his master. He says, you know, his time is short with him. He says, before you're taken up, I want a double portion. Remember the old double portion request? Those of you that are asking for double portions, be careful what you're asking for, because double portions usually mean double trouble, okay? And so you're going to need every ounce of that anointing, all right? But here's what happens now is this, is as the story goes and the story unfolds, okay, Elijah replies to his assistant, his apprentice, you have asked for something difficult. And then he puts on a condition. This is very interesting. Instead of saying, oh, sure, son, yeah, you've been faithful all these years, I'm just going to go ahead and just take it now. What he does is he puts a condition on it. And what he just says is this, if you see me being taken from you, you will have it. If not, you won't. So that last part, if you don't, you won't, that's not just an empty deal. That's an actual condition. And I've wondered about this. Man, why would he put that condition? Well, you know what I think? I think he wants Elisha to really value what he's asking for. A lot of times in the church, we see this or that, we see a person moving, and we love the stories, and we kind of get fall in love with the buzz, the image of it. But we're not committed to stewarding that gifting, being faithful and exercising the property of the glory of God, refining it, maturing in it, and most importantly, being faithful to practice it. Because look, God gives us opportunity. You follow? And I think Elijah's just cutting through all the superficiality that could accompany a request like, give me a double portion. I'll be the coolest prophet in Israel, man. You know, that type of thing. It was more than a business card. And so he knows lives are going to be impacted by this guy's ministry. So he tells him this, and then from that point on, it's game on. I had a wild imagination, and so I can just imagine at this point, Elijah's just playing and toying with Elisha. you know. Hey, there's Haley's Comet, look over there. And then he runs behind a tree, a boulder. Elijah spins around, where is he? You know, oh my God, I didn't see him caught up. He tears his garment, oh no, it's for later. Okay, that type of thing. And he's just, and then what about those moments when Elijah needed to go use the restroom? Okay, that would have been very interesting and particularly embarrassing. But anyway, Elisha's not going to lose sight of his master. He's going to keep his eyes on him. Then it finally happens. The chariot of fire comes down. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire with horses of fire suddenly appeared and separated the two of them. Then Elijah went up into heaven in the whirlwind. And as Elijah walked, he kept crying out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And then he never saw Elijah again. And he took hold of his own clothes. Now you can turn. And he tore his clothes in two, right? Now, the next thing that happens is interesting, okay? Apparently what happens is that Elijah's mantle falls to the ground. And that mantle has become a metaphor, a symbol in the church today of an anointing. People say that in Phoenix, 2013, I think it was, Wimber's mantles were all over the place in that auditorium. It was Pastor Leaders National Conference. And so it's become a symbol for that reality, that spiritual reality. Who would take up the mantle with all the heartbreak, with all the difficulty, challenges of it? And so what ends up happening is that Elisha takes up the mantle that had fallen off Elijah. And then here's an interesting thing, and this is something you really need to hear. We're going to pray for impartation in just a second. Some of you are already practitioners. You're praying for the sick. Those of you that are just starting out in this, you need to know something. You won't know whether this impartation worked or not until you strike the waters of your river Jordan. You've got to try it. And that's what happens next. Elisha, okay, he had seen his master do all sorts of stuff, powerful stuff. So he comes up to the bank of the Jordan, and he's thinking to myself, okay, will this really work? Batteries on switch, okay, we're ready to roll. And he strikes the waters, and guess what happens? They part. And in the words of that famous prophet, John Wimber, I'm sure Elisha's saying, hot dog, it works, you know? Hot dog, it really works. And he's off to the races. Last thing I want to say about this condensed teaching, is that when it gets to the other side, the sons of the prophets of Jericho, I think they're referred to as, the sons of the prophets from Jericho, see him, and what do they say? Hey, the spirit of Elijah is on Elisha. The church plays a vital role in affirming and confirming our spiritual gifts. That's for free, okay? Man, you can be a loner, you can say all you want, print all the business cards you can get, but there's nothing like the church confirming gifting. And it builds your confidence, it fireproofs you from the enemy trying to steal it from you. And man, just a powerful dynamic. Another benefit of community. Now, that's what we're going to do right now. I didn't get to the point, but you know, there's a verse in the New Testament where Paul to Timothy says, I remind you to kindle afresh the gifts which you received through the laying on of my hands. Yeah. Still valid, New Testament. And that's what we're going to do right now. So if you put your stuff away. Did I turn this off now?